Book of Philippians, chapter 2, please. Philippians, chapter 2. I want to thank the Lord. Many things to thank the Lord for this morning. I do just want to, and I know some of you may not like this next comment just because of a preference, but I will say it anyway. I thank the Lord for that good frost we had this morning. That was nice. I really like it. I had to run the defrost in the truck this morning for at least 5 minutes before it started clearing up. I was like, this is nice. This is real nice. But I am thanking the Lord for heat too at the same time. Amen. But yes, it is Veterans Day, and we just want to let you veterans know, if you don't know, that it's becoming more and more obvious, and I'm thankful. This is a blessing that many of the restaurants and stores in our community are honoring veterans by giving discounts, free meals, appetizers. And so if you are a veteran here today and you are not aware of where those places are, just simply Google it. Google Veterans Day meals or whatever, anything like that, or free meals, and you will see a whole list of places that are doing that. I know a couple of them that I checked out and I'm praying about currently is Texas Roadhouse. You know, they got a free meal there. Chili's, Applebee's, they got free meals, and all these other places that I read about, they're either given a meal or an appetizer or a dessert, and so many things like that. And so I just trust that you'll get out and take advantage of those things, and get yourself a nice meal there, and I know it will be a blessing. But anyway, just thought I'd mention that because it is something that is encouraging, and it's not every day these restaurants are giving away free food. Amen. And so that's good. Well, we're there. This morning's message, I don't know that I've preached a message like this, at least in a good while. It's something that it's a topical message. So to me, topical messages are more difficult to preach than expository messages, because usually with expository preaching, you can take a passage of Scripture and preach the context of the verse and deal with it there. The Bible gives you your own outline there in many ways. But with a topic, you know, it just can be vast, and to be able to cover it and know exactly where to go, it can be more difficult. But with that being said, I just want to prepare you and want to encourage you. We'll be going to different passages to talk about some of the supporting verses to the points that I will give. And so I wanted to say this too. Do not be ashamed to use this wonderful thing called the table of contents, all right, in the front of your Bible. I don't know why anyone would ever think that would be embarrassing. I can't even find my table of contents. Good gracious. That's bad when you can't find the table of contents. They put like 40 pages before it. Anyway, I'll complain about that later. The table of contents, please don't ever hesitate to use them. I don't care if you are a mature believer. If there's a book that you just are not familiar with as much, or just forgot exactly where it was stationed in the canon, feel free to look at that and the page number. No one's going to think any less of you here. That is for sure. And so that is something. But we will be looking at several passages, so I encourage you to flip along with me as we look at those, and it will be a good time together. Well, we're there in the book of Philippians, and chapter 2. We're going to use this as a text to begin our message. And verse 25, Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, we see here that the Bible says, and Paul to the Philippians, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor," and get this term here is what I want to draw attention to, is "and fellow soldier." but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. It's also used in Philemon, this word fellow soldier. It's only used twice in the New Testament. This is one and the Philemon's the other. And it's basically referring to one who engages in conflict together for a common purpose. And the context here would be for the purpose of serving the Lord. It would be for the purpose of serving Jesus Christ with their life together with. And by the way, I think we all know this, but anybody that decides to serve Jesus, you're going to face conflict. Amen? If you're not currently facing any conflict each and every day, whether it's conflict with your own selfish desires or conflict from the world, you need to understand that living the Christian life, you will face conflict. And one thing that I'm very thankful that God has purposed is that we are not to go through conflict alone. Number one, I'm thankful that God is with us. And we'll talk more about that here in a moment. But the fact of the matter is God has created that we have our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Isn't that a blessing, church? That God has commanded us to go through the conflict together. And sadly, many times the brethren decide to be in conflict with one another instead of against the enemy. But this word fellow soldier, it's also defined as an associate in laborers and conflicts for the cause of Christ. When I joined the United States Coast Guard in January of 2001, I remember before going and before arriving, I went to the MEP station in Columbia, South Carolina, there at Fort Jackson. And I made the following oath, and it went like this, and every person that joins the armed forces will make this oath when they join. I, Brinson Jennings, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God. That is the oath that is given, and it's very powerful. It's very meaningful. It's a commitment, a true and pure commitment to give one's life for the sake of their country. It is an oath truly to serve. And that is the title of this morning's message, An Oath to Serve. You know, for the person that's come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, the day they came to know Christ, whether they were 4 years old or 40 or 80, it does not matter. But on that day, not only did you meet your Savior, Jesus Christ, but at that same moment, you met your Commander, Jesus Christ. Yes, you see, we as God's children at the moment of salvation are enlisted to the Lord's army. You know how that old children's song goes, don't you? You hadn't forgotten. If you hadn't, I'll catch myself singing it from time to time with the kids at home. But I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. That's a good one. And that's true for all of us that we do serve in the Lord's army. You know, there are some things that I want us to see here this morning that are characteristic about serving the Lord. In fact, can I put it this way? I want to share some things with you that I believe are a blessing in serving the Lord. Hey, folks, we need to realize right up front, it truly is a blessing to serve the Lord. Now, I did not say it's always easy, because that'd be a lie. It's not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's one of the hardest things to do in the world. But the fact of the matter is, it is always a blessing because we must realize that serving the Lord is about the heart towards our God, about our attitude towards Him and serving Him. And I'd like to correlate some things that that have to do with serving the Lord that we see in current day and serving our country, and some things that I think we'll draw out for sake of illustration that will be helpful. Now, I don't know that we'll get through the message this morning. I do have 10 points. Now, don't let that scare you. Some can go quicker than others, but anyway, if we don't finish them by 1 p.m., we'll continue tonight, okay? I'm just kidding. Now I wouldn't do that to you. All right, but listen, this is where we need to start. First of all, the blessing of serving the Lord and being in the Lord's army, number one, it's a blessing because it's never in vain. It's never wasted. Anytime we commit our hearts and our service to the Lord God Almighty, it is not in vain. Go over with me to 1 Corinthians. Now get ready. We're getting ready to start going through these. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Familiar verse in the context of the blessings of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see that there are true benefits in serving the Lord, and we see one of them, that it's never in vain. I'm going to read verse number 58. It says here in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, because we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, it's very important that you don't forget those last three words of that verse, because it's tempting just to say that, hey, our labor is not in vain. Labor can be in vain if it's not in the Lord. We want our labor to be in the Lord as we serve Him out of the pureness of our heart. You know, when you come to Crooked Creek Baptist Church, your motivation of serving the Lord should not be the pastor. It should not be the Sunday school teacher. It shouldn't be the people of the church. Your service for the Lord Jesus Christ should come out of a dedication to Him and Him alone. The Lord. It's never in vain when you serve in the Lord. I think of dear people men and women who have served our country. I'm thankful that the service that they have put forth in honor has never been in vain. I'm grateful for that. I think of instances like we hear of often, but it's good to recognize them often as well. But the Battle of Iwo Jima, we see, was a major battle in which the United States Marine Corps landed on and eventually captured this island from the Imperial Japanese Army during World War II. Now, I want you to hear some of the statistics of that invasion. Now, it was Japanese controlled. It had three airfields on it, including the South Field and Central Field, and it was going to provide staging attacks for the Japanese to bring severe damage upon the U.S. military. So they had to take this over, and it was a five-week battle. A five-week battle that went for some of the most fiercest and bloodiest fighting of the Pacific War of World War II. Get this, there were 110,000 U.S. Marines. There were and U.S. soldiers and U.S. Navy corpsmen there who would fight in that battle. But get this, over 6,000 were killed and over 19,000 were wounded. 19,000. But you know what? Thank God we stand here today in freedom, because we know that what they committed that day in serving their country, the ones that gave their lives and even the ones that did not but were wounded, I'm thankful that we can say together with great confidence and great joy that it was not in vain. And I want to tell you, Christian, whatever you're doing for the Lord out of the pureness of your heart, I want to assure you and guarantee you by the authority of the Word of God, it does not matter how little it is, it does not matter how big it is, but if it is service to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not in vain. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the dear sisters who are down in the nursery watching the little ones and guarding over them. And listen, their service is not in vain. A lot of times we only look at the big flashy things of ministry that are not in vain. Listen, everything in the Lord is done with great meaning. It means a lot to the Lord. We'll talk about that here more in just a moment. But it's never in vain. Secondly, in the army of the Lord, in the service of the Lord, we have the best master or general of all time. The Lord God is, in fact, the greatest master or general that anybody could ever ask for. You know, we've had some great generals in our lifetime. We've had some great generals in the lifetime of the United States of America. I think of our founding fathers, even our first president, George Washington. What a great general he was. George Patton, Dwight Eisenhower. I think of Douglas MacArthur and scores of other generals through the history of our country. And boy, they were great generals for sure. I think of General Grant and General Robert E. Lee. I think of these ones that were just really magnificent in their leadership and their ability to win battles and to lead men. But I want to tell you, I'm thankful that there is no greater general commander than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He knows how to lead His people. He knows how to lead us into battle. He knows how to sustain us. He knows how to encourage us. He knows how to do that. And He is worthy to be followed. There is no fault in Him. As I mentioned these other generals, you could go down the line and find fault with every one of them. Where they were weak, where they struggled, where they failed. But praise God, there is no fault with our commander. He's perfect in every way. He's a perfect general. He's a good general. And He's a mighty general. I look to the Lord God. I think of Him as a general because the Bible does. When you hear that term, the Lord of hosts, do you know what that's referring to? It's referring to the Lord of armies. The armies of angels. The armies of God's people marching forward with the cross of Jesus Christ claiming the gospel. Hey, that's our commander. That's who we pledge allegiance to. It is our God. He is the Lord of hosts. Psalm 24:10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory, Selah, Psalm 24:10. He is the most powerful, the most wise, the most loving, the most holy God of heaven. He is the greatest of all. And I'm telling you, that is a blessing about being in the service of the King, as we get to serve the greatest of all. What a blessing. But not only that, thirdly, I think that the blessing of serving the Lord is you don't need to have an elite status. Now, isn't that a blessing? You young people here, your age does not limit the God of heaven. Some of you that are struggling more in a season of life where you have more physical limitations that you've ever had, can I assure you right now by the authority of God's Word, that is no limitation on the God of heaven using you. Your past, things that you may have done that you wish you wouldn't have done. We've all done that. Do you know the God of heaven is not looking for those that have been perfect all their life? The God of heaven is looking for those that are simply broken and come to Him for the healing. That come to Him and trust Him. God is not looking for the elite. He's looking for the weak. That's awesome. That I can come to my God and I can come to Him in humility with my weaknesses and my fallacies, and the Lord God can take me as I am and give me strength and grace and heal me and bring me up the way He wants me to be. Look with me over there. We're in 1 Corinthians. Go over to chapter 1. Flip back there just about 15 chapters. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26. Listen to what the Lord says. This is who the Lord calls. This is who the Lord uses to serve Him. He says in verse 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Praise God. Put your name right there. If you're ashamed to put your name right there, then God can't use you. I mean, that's just Bible. You are foolish. And you need God. God has chosen the foolish things of the world. And God has chosen us in all our weakness. It says here, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And goes on to further describe that so that no man, no flesh can glory in His presence. Oh, I'm thankful this morning. It's a blessing to serve the Lord because He's not looking for those with elite status. He wants to take us just like we are and use us for His glory as He brings healing, as He brings grace. I'm so thankful. I was just talking to someone recently that just got right with God. I've been counseling with them, and it's just a tremendous testimony only of God's grace. But the individual was just stating, he said, Pastor, I can't really describe what's going on in my life. He said, from where I was 2 years ago, from what the Lord is doing in my life, the desires He's given me and those things, it's simply amazing. And I'm talking about an individual who is very honest about the brokenness that is there and the baggage, if you will, that is there. Because we all have it. We all do. But God takes it and does marvelous, miraculous things. Amen? He does. And that's why it's wonderful to be in the service of the King, because we can look at anybody, any child of God, and any lost person that's willing to get saved and trust Jesus as their Savior and say, God can use you in a mighty way. No matter what you are carrying, bring it to the Lord and let Him do marvelous things. But then, fourthly here, the blessing of serving the Lord is the fact that the Lord honors His servants. Go over to the Gospel of John with me, please. The Gospel of John, that's the fourth book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 12, if you would. John chapter 12. I appreciate you following along with me in these. This is good for us to do this from time to time. And just to see what the Word of God says about these different subjects. And this is the context of serving the Lord. Jesus is dealing with the disciples here. And look there in John chapter 12. And I'll begin reading in verse number 25. Jesus is talking about the importance of losing your life. Not necessarily physically, although it could, but the importance of just simply surrendering your life completely to Him and not living for your own ambitions, but for the glory of God. But listen to verse 25. He says, "And he that loveth his life shall lose it." Simply one who is selfish will lose life is what it's saying. "But he that hateth his life," in other words, he's not selfish, "in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Now get this, verse 26. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me," get this next phrase, "him will my Father honor." Now, I believe that comes in various fashions that the Lord decides. He's sovereign, He's King, He decides how He honors. We don't get to pick the honoring part, okay? We just need to trust by faith that God will honor those that serve Him. Why do I have to believe that? Because the Bible says it right there. Jesus said it. He's going to honor you if you serve Him. The Father will. Now listen, I'm thankful in the U.S. military. And our armed forces, I do believe they make it a point to honor the men and women who are serving. And they make it a point to do that. And we are grateful for that. And there are awards given. I've been at pinning ceremonies where either someone is making rank, someone went over and beyond in a special way. There's a system that they have set up for honoring. Well, can I tell you something? God has a system set up for honoring. He does. Now, we don't work for that. We don't serve to be honored. But the fact of the matter is, we can be thankful that God has chosen to do that. It's encouraging that God honors those that serve Him. Now, sometimes we think that it's got to be the right here and right now, don't we? Now, Lord, You know I read my Bible today. Why aren't things going well? I prayed for 2 hours this morning, and Lord, it seems like I'm having the worst day ever. We want the honoring here and now, don't we? But listen, that's the wrong motive. That means what you're doing is the motivation is to be honored. But remember, our service for the Lord is just for Him and Him alone. Whether He honors me or not, I'm going to serve Him. And when He chooses and how He chooses to honor me is up to Him. But I do know this, He will. He will, because He says He will. And I'm thankful for that. I think about verses like Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God's not going to forget what you're doing for Him. I believe that we will be awarded accordingly one day at the judgment seat of Christ. It does say in the Word of God that we will be rewarded according to our works. Now, those are for saved people. We're not talking about for sin. But according to my service to the King, I will be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And it will be, no matter what it is, it's not necessarily just one thing. There's so many ways we can serve the Lord and be honored for it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful. But then fifthly here, we see that the blessing of serving the Lord is that we get to sacrifice for others. Go over with me to 1 John. We are there in the book of John. Go towards the book of Revelation, towards the last book of your Bible. When you get to Revelation, just go back several pages to 1 John chapter 3. I'll begin reading in verse 16. If you'll go there with me, 1 John 3:16, the context is our love for the brethren. All right, listen to this. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for who? The brethren. The brethren. It goes on to say, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, one of the wonderful blessings of serving the Lord is we get to sacrifice for one another. Most people that I've met, in fact, Maybe a couple times, and I can't even really remember. But most of the people I've met and that serve their country, who serve in the U.S. military, what I have gotten from them is that they count it a blessing to serve and to lay down their lives for not only their brethren. And they do for their brethren. You understand that. They put themselves on the line every day for the freedom that we experience this morning. That's the brethren, the citizens of America, millions thousands and up to 2 million are out serving active duty, and they're doing that to lay down their lives for the freedom of the United States of America. And they also do it for the freedom of others, and others are benefited, and it's a sacrifice that they get to have. And I think about the opportunity of God's people to get to do the same. When's the last time, brethren, we made a true sacrifice for the sake of another brother and sister? When's the last time that we went out of our way to be a help and an encouragement to a brother and sister in Christ? That is where it is. And we get the privilege of following in our Lord's footsteps. Isn't that pretty awesome? That we get to follow in His example of sacrifice? Hey, listen, you may not realize this, and I'm sure you do, but we as believers, we get hurt sometimes. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we get really down. Sometimes we get really defeated. And we need to make it a point to be able to recognize that, to be able to help those brothers and sisters who are in the battle, who are struggling. I believe that is the context of this verse, that we ought to have a sacrificial spirit towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is a blessing. I think of a recent study I did on a certain part of our armed forces, the Air Force Special Operations commands, that certain group of soldiers, an airman that served the Lord in a really neat capacity. Pararescuemen. They are also called PJs. These group of individuals are of the Department of Defense, and they have a specialty and are specifically, get this, trained to conduct conventional and unconventional rescue operations. If you ever have a time, read up on them, some of the things that they do. Listen to what their motto is. Their motto is this: that others may live. That others may live. The PJ's commitment to saving lives and self-sacrifice. And I read this: without PJ's, thousands of service members of all the different branches and civilians would have been unnecessarily lost in past conflicts and natural disasters. Listen to this testimony of Senior Master Sergeant Doug Widener. He earned the Distinguished Flying Cross after conducting, get this, 25 missions in just 5 days during Operation Bulldog Bite in Afghanistan. Get this. In over a 4-month period, it was something like, he says, quote, they saved 305 lives and went 280 missions. What would they do? They would be dropped out of helicopters, or whatever was necessary, to go into a hostile zone where people were either injured or hurt in great danger, and they would lay their lives down for the simple purpose of rescuing them. May God's people have that type of spirit toward the brethren. A lot of times, brethren, I think we're guilty of shooting the wounded, instead of coming alongside and helping them get up and trying to encourage them. There's a sacrificial spirit there, and I trust that the Lord would help us to have that. Hey, there's blessings in serving the Lord. It's that we get to sacrifice for others. But then, I also see the blessing of serving the Lord is we've been given everything we need. One thing I noticed about when I joined, and you other veterans can relate, when you join, you realize, boy, the military gives you everything, not that you want, but that you need. Everything you need to accomplish the mission that they're telling you to, they're going to give it to you. In all honesty, and thankfully, the U.S. military does give great benefits. They meet all your medical needs, your dental needs. They help you with provide the housing. They take care of you, and you have to do exactly what they say. That's for sure. But the fact of the matter is, there's great provisions for our veterans, and that's getting even better. The medical care even for our veterans, it's getting better. But there's great care there, and I'm thankful for that. But can I tell you, as a child of God and in the service of the King, there's no better care than our God gives. He gives great care. He makes the provisions that are desperately needed every single day of our lives. I think of Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, please make a note here. It's not always what you think you need. Sometimes we think we have a need, and God in His sovereignty sees at that moment that's not a real need. So trust God to meet your need at the moment that you have it, and trust that if it is needed to be met, God will do that because He promises. Look over there in the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. Go over there with me and look at Matthew chapter 6, would you? Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, a very familiar passage. What is Jesus teaching the disciples here? He's teaching them to trust Him. He's teaching them that He's going to care for their every need. And listen to what He says in verse number 33. Chapter 6, verse 33. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There's a seeking after the Lord. And then He says this with the promise. And all these things shall be added unto you. He says, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Can I tell you, when you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe this verse right here, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. God will meet your needs. He will, in the context there, He's talking about the food and the raiment, your clothing, your shelter. The Lord is going to provide those things for us. And there needs to be a trust from us and a security in that. And there's blessings in knowing that He does that perfectly. We rejoice that we can trust Him to meet our needs. You got some needs today, don't you? I got some needs. We all have needs here represented. I want to tell you, God's going to meet them. God's going to meet them in His timing, in His way. And it's simply for you and me, our responsibility is to say, Father, I'm going to trust You. I don't necessarily see how You're meeting this need at the moment, but Almighty God, I'm going to trust You. There will become great strength, spiritual strength through that. So we see that we've been getting everything we need from our Father, but also the blessing of being in the service of the King is a reasonable service. Now go over there to the book of Romans with me. Flip over there a couple books past the Gospels, the book of Acts, and then Romans. Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12 there. This is one that is familiar, again, that many have memorized, and greatly so, rightly so. Romans chapter 12, it says here, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Now get this, which is your reasonable service. You'll notice when you, and this is the response I've gotten when I thank veterans in the airport or wherever I see them, when I go up to them and thank them for their service, one of the things that I've seen, they may not use the exact terminology of reasonable service, but one of the responses I get is that we're glad to do it. It's an honor, and it's just a blessing to be able to do what we do. When I see a man or a woman in uniform, I say that is the response I get. What is the spirit that they're putting forth there? It's their reasonable service. They want to do that because it made sense to them that my country has given me great freedom. It's been a blessing. And they say, you know what? I want to serve my country because it's my reasonable service. May God's people get that same spirit. They don't look at it as something to regret. They don't look at it as something to dread, but they look at it as, praise God, what I'm getting to do now for God, it's only reasonable that I do that for Him. He's worthy. It only makes sense to give my all. That is the Lord. That is the blessing. You know, sometimes I believe as God's people, when it comes to serving the Lord, we serve it with bitterness. We serve with complaining. We serve with envy. Like, I wish I was being blessed like that brother or sister. By the way, please be careful, brethren. When you look at someone's life, it may look like everything is okay on the outside, but truthfully, they could be going through the hardest time of their life. You never want to just bank on outside circumstances. But the truth of the matter is, let's not complain. Wherever God has us in this season, I can remember times being out at the sea for 60 days and boy, we didn't get port calls. And there were times that I can remember my shipmates, we would just be having what we called a complaining party. And because of the service or because of this and that, and we just want to get all critical. And I'm thankful that we were set straight in those ways. And I'm thankful for those ones that did serve their country who would come alongside and say, hey guys, quit whining. This is life. You know, Grow up, guys. It's going to be okay. I'm thankful for those that came by and said words like that. But you know what? We need to think about that as Christians. As we are serving the Lord, let's don't be critical. Let's don't be complaining about the season of life we're in. Yes, we may need help. Yes, we may need encouragement. But don't complain to God where He's got you. Serve with honor. It's a blessing. God's going to meet the need. And it is a reasonable service. And then, moving quickly here, I want us to see also it's a blessing because the brethren are unified. Go over there to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Chapter 1. I believe it's a blessing to serve the Lord because the brethren are unified. Look at verse 27, Philippians chapter 1. You just keep on going past Corinthians, keep going past Ephesians, and then you'll get to Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 27, the second part. It says here, talking about unity, he says here, that I may hear of your affairs. He says that ye stand fast. This is the second part of verse 27. That ye stand fast in one spirit and one mind, what? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. That word striving together, it means struggling together. I don't know about you, but if you can look back on whether as a family or as a friend, a time that you have gone through a very deep valley with someone that was there with you, and they were experiencing that same valley as well. That conflict, whatever it was in your life, there is a special bond that is there. And that will never be removed. Why? Because you experienced a conflict together, a struggle together. And I want to tell you, as God's people, we're going to go through conflicts together. We're going to go through struggles. But you know, the Bible tells us that we can grow stronger through those things. Our bond can be stronger in Christ. An incredible bond is formed when we serve together in conflict. You can talk to men that have served in the Marine Corps or the Air Force or wherever, and when they go out to battle and they come back from those duties, there's a bond there that is unbelievably deep. And brethren, that's another reason we should not try to hide our conflicts. Amen? God's people, boy, sometimes we are professional hiders. How you doing today, Brother Brinson? I'm doing great. Hallelujah. Going through the hardest time of my life and didn't tell anybody. You know, we need to be honest about our conflicts. Why? Because we can go through the conflicts together and become stronger. A lot of times people go through a conflict and they'll think to themselves and they'll share it with someone else, and that individual that they shared it with said, "Pray, wow, you struggle with that too? That's where you are in life? You experience that?" Oh, I'm telling you, it brings great strength. Moving quickly here, the last two. It's a blessing to serve the Lord because discipline is formed. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know what that brother was saying? I better practice what I preach or God's just going to cast me out of here. I better practice discipline. If I'm telling these Corinthians that they need to straighten up, I better be straightened up. That's the context there, and there was a great discipline that Paul experienced. You know, the military stresses greatly the importance of discipline. I mean, anywhere from your clothes being hung up a certain way, your shoes to be stowed away in a certain way, and there are so many different things that you have to have in the military, in the way you dress, your uniform. What is that teaching? They emphasize discipline. Discipline. You know, after I got saved, I realized very quickly that as God's people, as we serve Him, God expects discipline. I don't know that, I'm saying this honestly, I don't believe I have ever practiced and tried to practice by God's grace, but I don't know that I've had to practice so much discipline in my life as a Christian in comparison to the military. I mean, that was minor, the things we had to discipline in there. You could get a hang of those things. But every day, the Christian walk, telling my flesh no, submitting myself to the Lord, and walking in the Spirit daily, I want to tell you, that takes great discipline. But it's a blessing because of the strength that God gives, because He says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is He talking about here? Be disciplined by God's Spirit. And I had one guy tell me just recently too. He said, Pastor, I was doing this, but recently, I'm finding power to discipline myself. I said, praise God. That's the Spirit of God. That's not your power, but it's the Spirit's power, because God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That word sound mind is temperance. He's given us that Spirit. And my friends, it is a blessing, because whatever besetting sin you're facing today, and whatever I'm facing, I want to tell you, God's Spirit will give you the discipline to overcome it. He will. He promises it. And that is such a blessing, to be in the service of the King, that God says, I will give you my Holy Spirit, and He will help you overcome and live the Christian life with great discipline. The power to say no is pretty awesome. And it doesn't come from my flesh, that's for sure, but it comes from the Lord. Men, let me go on a rabbit trail here, and I'm going to move on real quick. Men, you know what will help you discipline your eyes? The Holy Spirit. Ladies, you know what will help you discipline your eyes? The Holy Spirit. It won't come from your flesh. You will look at you what you want to in your flesh. But boy, when the Spirit of God comes in your life, thank God, He tells us where to look, when to look, how to look. Hallelujah for that. And then lastly, but not least, let me share this with you. This blessing here of serving the Lord, toughness is gained. Look over there with me in 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy, this is our closing passage, so I'll have you turn there with me. 2 Timothy, if you go to the book of Hebrews, you've gone too far. Go back about two books, the book of Hebrews. Go backwards until you run into Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. The blessing of serving the Lord is it does help us with toughness. Look there with me. Chapter 2, verse 3. Very short verse. 2 Timothy 2, 3 says this, Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, as a Christian, God gives us the grace to be tough. I'm teaching Thomas right now how to be tough. Now, I know 4-year-olds, my wife reminds me often, Honey, he's 4. I'm like, I know, I forget. I think he's supposed to be like He-Man, you know. But I try to teach Thomas that, look, just because you fall and bump your knee, it may hurt. It does not mean that you have to cry like the world is coming to an end. And it sometimes appears that way with our children. And I often catch myself using a term. Listen, son. Listen, honey. Be tough. God, listen, there's nothing wrong. I know I need to bring comfort. That's where my wife comes in the picture. She helps me with the comfort part. She's like, honey, hug them. Okay, I'll hug them, you know. I need to do that too. But the truth is, I try to teach my kids to be tough. And that's something that I realize more and more. You know something God's trying to do? God's trying to teach us to be tough. Sometimes as Christians, let's be honest, church. Sometimes we can be pansies.
My battery went dead.
Now, if somebody's battery went dead recently, forgive me. I did not hear anything about it. That's what came to mind. But it could be some things that just seem so minuscule, but we blow them up as if it's a mountain that the world's coming to an end. But I tell you, by God's grace, by serving the Lord does teach us to be tough. He helps us with that. We need that. It's to be tough. There's no easy road to victory, as one author said. Listen to David Livingston. He went to the darkest Africa as a lone missionary. Just puts me to shame, puts us all to shame in his spirit. But he says, after some time in his missions committee, wrote to him saying, Mr. Livingston, some people would like to join you. What's the easiest road to get where you are? Now, he's out in the jungle somewhere, so that would be a right question for me to ask too. Listen, what's the shortest, quickest way we can get to you? We want to be a blessing. Well, this is what his response was. He replied, If they're looking for the easiest road, tell them to stay in England. I want people who will come even if there's no road at all. And I believe as God's children and His servants and His army, may God give us a spirit of toughness to blaze some trails for His glory. To be able to go forward trusting Him, knowing that He is our Heavenly Father and He is going to lead us. He is going to use us. I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but I believe there are great blessings in serving the Lord. Let's pray.